Well, we'll go ahead and get started. Thank you so much for joining our live forum today. This is the first of our launch of monthly forums, and we hope to provide you with some relevant and timely information and provide you an opportunity to ask questions. So my name is Janie Selby. I'm a paraplanner, and I serve as the operations and compliance officer for Willamette Financial Advisors. I've been with the firm since 2015, and I have a background. My experience primarily is in operations, leadership, and executive management. And today, our hosts will be Ron Barry and Jim Jones. Today, we've kind of structured it as a conversation that'll hopefully provide you with some valuable information and an opportunity to ask them some questions. Ron is a CFP and a principal member, co-owner, and our Willamette Financial Advisors. He's been serving clients since the early 2000s with a primary focus in investments, wealth management, and retirement. And he has a special expertise in healthcare and working with individuals transitioning from public service careers, particularly state and federal, into retirement. Jim Jones is also a CFP, a co-owner and principal member of the firm. He's also our chief compliance officer. And Jim has been serving clients since the 1990s, with having served for over 10 years on the Chicago Board of Trade, running trading desks and serving as a market maker. Jim also has similar expertise as Ron, and in addition, he has a special expertise in options trading. So the folks that you're going to be hearing from and talking to are come with a wealth of knowledge and understanding of the industry. With that, I will be serving as your moderator. In the background, if you have any questions or need anything, just put it in the chat, and I'll let them know what you need. And other than that, I'm going to turn it over to Ron to get kick this off and talk a little bit about Willamette Financial Advisors and our philosophy.
Thank you, Janie. Great introduction. Thank you for joining us today, everyone. We really appreciate this. This is a inaugural effort on our part. We hope to be able to continue doing these on a regular basis, depending on the client's interests and concerns and questions. The Willamette Financial Advisors, we should point out, is what's called a fiduciary firm, and we follow the fiduciary standard under the Certified Financial Planning Board of Directors, which and we basically call ourselves a CFP firm. And this means that we strive to serve in our clients' best interests. That's our fiduciary obligation. And when we meet and work with clients, our obligation is to find out exactly what your needs are and how best we can customize any of our services to meet your needs, whatever they may be. This whole process is driven by really listening to the clients, what their interests are, formulating the strategy to solve any concerns or problems they may have, and following through with some advice and making sure that the goals that are outlined are addressed. So before we get started, I want to let you know there's a little bit of housekeeping stuff that you can, at any time under the chat mode, type in a question, and that we may be able to chat. Janie will be monitoring these and let us know if there's anything that we might be able to answer at this. You could, you know, if we can't answer these any questions, we'll be glad to do some research and try to find an answer to your questions and get back in touch with you. If that is the case, I believe we already have your contact information when you registered for the presentation. One of the things I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind informing or telling us, is what really motivated you to join this forum that we decided to put on today? And you can just type your answer into the chat function, and Janie will give us some background on what your comments are. And it would be really helpful for us in trying to identify what further presentations we might want to get and give and how to customize these to the benefit of any of the participants. The things that we're going to talk about today is really, as the title says, market volatility and risk tolerance. And I suppose that everyone here is very concerned or has been concerned about the performance of the markets in the year to date. They continue to be quite volatile, generally trending down. They have had some good upswings followed by some good downswings. There's a lot of volatility, and there's a lot of reasons for why this is going on. And the number of reasons can include a variety of things in supply chain disruptions, the pandemic employment issues. They're still lagging. There is, of course, the increasing interest rates and inflation. The interest rates is a response to the inflation that we've been seeing. And also the Ukraine war is also having. So there's been a number of things that have really caused what we're going through right now. And a lot of these were, you know, unexpected and unavoidable. We expected that there could be a little bit of a challenge to the start of this year. But it was not anticipated to be as much as it has been so far. The one of the things I wanted to ask is, there are many historical trends associated with this, and we'll get into these in a second. But I wanted to, as far as the markets are concerned, what we're in now is really a bull market, and if I can take an opportunity to share a slide with you. There are times in which we are in the markets considered to be in a bull market and in a bear market. So this slide, hopefully, I'm sure you can't read it all, but just briefly, there are a number of dark blue hills involved in this. And this represents the bull market times in the recent past, going from 1942 up to this year, 2022. Far to the right is where the most recent bull market has been, and now that has, in our opinion, is terminated. And prior to that, there was a little recession or a correction, and that was correlated with the pandemic correction. And that pandemic correction ended up with about a 34% downturn in the equity markets, but it was followed by a 100% recovery of the markets after that. So, and that's the real common denominator between these cycles of bull and bear markets, is that the bear markets tend to be very short-lived. On the average, they are last about 11.3 months. And they're all shown by the downturns or the orange areas below the x-axis there. And then the bull markets are always characterized by a much greater appreciation. And they last an average of 4.4 years. So, if you count over, well, we have the last one, which is under 2000, and the big Great Recession, which was 2008, that's a 1-2, that's the second valley over from your right-hand side. That actually had a downturn of, let's get this right, 48% in the S&P 500. But it was followed, and it lasted, let's see, just 1.1 years, surprisingly enough, although it seemed much longer than that. But it was followed by an upturn of a bull market of 11 years, and we had a 400% growth in that period of time. So this is typically the cycle that we see in the markets. This cycle is that we'll have pullbacks or recessions or corrections, and followed, which are relatively short-lived, followed by longer periods and higher levels of growth in the equity markets. So unfortunately, the response to the bear markets or the corrections or the recessions is people are very, investors tend to be very emotional in our experience. They want to go to cash or want to get into really something conservative. And, you know, all that is an admirable thought. In fact, it actually works out to their detriment in many occasions. And it really wanted to share another slide. This is from J.P. Morgan. The last one was for First Trust. I got the credit where we got this information. But this, the impact of being out of the market. So if you see a downturn in the market and you decide I need to, you know, get into cash or get more conservative, that's a typical knee-jerk emotional reaction by the investors. If this just shows you what can occur if you were to do that anywhere from the period of January 4th, 1999 through December 31st, 2018. And this is just looking at the S&P 500, which is, you know, the 500's largest companies in the U.S. And so it's typically, it's truly an aggressive, if you were just in there alone, it'd be an aggressive portfolio. But if you have been in there, and this period of time, you must recall, includes not only the dot-com bust of around 2001, 2003, but it also includes the Great Recession in 2007 and 2008 and 2009, and the little pandemic recession that we had as well in early 2020. Even with all that, if you'd just been invested in the S&P 500, you would have had a 5.62% return. Now, if you had pulled yourself out of the market and got more conservative or gone to cash, and you had missed the 10 best days of the S&P 500 during this whole period of time, your return would have gone from 5.6% down to 2.01%. That's, you know, a 3.6% loss of opportunity, a gain, of opportunistic gain within your within that the S&P 500. Also, a really interesting thing to note is that of the six of the best 10 days that in the market in the S&P 500 had occurred within 2 weeks of the 10 worst days in the S&P 500. So these really come on, and the problem is if you go to cash and you're sitting there more than two or three weeks, then you can really get hurt. As Jamie mentioned, I work a lot with the healthcare professionals, and many nurses I have noticed that came to me after the several years, and back in 2014 and 15 and 16, with their federal retirement plan, had been in just basically the low income generating government security fund, and they had stayed in there. They'd gone to cash after their 401k's tanked, and they'd stayed in there for 5, 6, or 7 years, and they missed a huge opportunity to multiply their assets. And unfortunately, I had to tell a couple of them that they're going to have to either work longer to make up for their income needs for their future retirement. So so this is a real problem, and it's one that is really hard to resist as an investor. And this is where the advisors can really, working with an advisor can really help you get through these periods of time. So I would like to ask Jim, you know, if he's had similar experiences with some of his clients, and, you know, what other options that, or what other corrections or avenues can be taken when we hit these periods of market downturn like we are in right now. So, Jim, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Yeah, I mean, it's real interesting in these times that are volatile. Absolutely, the phone rings more. People become really concerned because, you know, nobody wants to lose any money, you know, and when you're talking about your risk tolerance, these are times that get tested as to, am I taking on the right amount of risk? Because, you know, honestly, you probably, you know, all of you at one point or another filled out a form that, let's see if I can show you this, filled out a form that said, that showed you something looking like this of different portfolios out here that, you know, A being the most conservative type of thing, you know, and this is over a 3-year period. Honestly, market cycles have greatly accelerated as of late. I do believe that some of that is due to world central banks and their meddling in the banking system, providing a lot of liquidity, certainly, and then knee-jerk reactions to what they're doing. A lot of times we'll call this as a headline market. But honestly, you're looking at something like this, an advisor like us might ask you, which box do you want to check? And inevitably, you know, most people are going to check B or C. You know, they say, okay, yeah, 76% up. That sounds great. But a lot of times they don't really look at this part here, the negatives. You know, it's like, the most likely in here sounds great. You know, averages over time. This is great. You know, in all actuality, that is a lot harder to check that box, so to speak, or easier to check that box than it is to go retrieve your statement at the end of the quarter and go, oh my gosh, this isn't what I signed up for. But you know, as you know, so one of the things it really does give us an opportunity to do, or you as a clients to do, is one, to reach out to us, your advisors, and you know, if it is making you a little more uncertain, you know, then you got to maybe we need to reevaluate what the risk that you're taking. And so, you know, that's, you know, honestly, that's a lot of times when we really kind of feel it out. I will also say this, that, you know, just taking a look at our recent history and, you know, during COVID, the last 2 years of our lives, which have probably been the longest 2 years of our lives, you know, where we hit our market lows in the coronavirus in March, early March of 2020, to where we are today, the S&P 500 is actually 52% higher today than it was just two years and 2 months ago. So think about that in the context of, you know, when it seems like trends and headlines, they grab your attention. Everybody knows the old adage of buy low and sell high. Everybody knows that. But as the wise man Mike Tyson once said, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. And I would say that is akin to what is the type of scenario where we are today. It is getting punched in the face. And then you start to go, oh my gosh, is this going to go to zero? Because it does seem like that. I think that, you know, honestly, making sure that you're staying in communication. I think that taking a look at things that you should always be doing with your advisor is rebalancing your portfolio. One of our colleagues ran just an anecdotal rebalancing of a 50% in equities and 50% in fixed income, and rebalanced it. So it was between January 1st of 2020 and August 1st of 2020, and it was rebalanced in March, at the end of the March quarter. So the market had already been moving higher. But in all actuality, versus one that just stayed the same the whole time, In that 7 month period, the rebalanced portfolio outperformed the other by 1.1% in a small period of time. And now I'm not saying you should be rebalancing all the time, but maybe quarterly the most, but more likely something like once a year, making sure, because what that does is that takes your winning, equities, are racing higher, and maybe bonds weren't as much. And so you reallocate a little bit there. One of the other things that I think that spreads a lot of fear is when things go down in a hurry, like they have in the last few weeks, month, everything becomes correlated. I ran some, looked at some numbers on 10 major indices, some sector ETFs, those kind of things, Bitcoin, that kind of stuff. And, honestly, 9 out of the 10 sectors are less than 1. And so, the only sector that has actually produced a winner in year to date is energy, which is up 40%. So I don't expect that anybody would have sold off their entire portfolio and put it all into oil, but it would have served you well. But this is just to say 9 out of 10 other things, that includes bonds, gold, Bitcoin, any index you want to pick, are all down in that time period. So that correlation starts to get, that's what I think also spooks people, because then they say, where do I go except for get cash? Some of the rebalancing, some other things that you can do certainly in this time, it provides an opportunity, would be things like tax harvesting. There, especially if you have over-concentrated positions and say a long-term, I've had this XYZ stock, I don't know, Apple or Microsoft, and I've made a whole bunch of money on it, but I just can't sell it because the tax hit on it's going to be astronomical. Well, honestly, maybe peeling off some of those long-term gains, and couple that with take a couple of even shorter-term losers, and neutralize the tax impact. And what you have also done is created a little cash. And, the part that you sell at the loser, you certainly can put it back in the marketplace in 31 days if you really want that position. But it's certainly something else you can look at. Some other things that I utilize would be options. I don't generally buy a lot of options whilst I have, and there are certainly times that one could buy, say, a put on an asset would provide definitely some relief. In fact, I am working on a paper about that, which we'll publish in our blog. I did one in regards to calls and selling covered calls, so to speak, on stocks that we may have that we own, where what we would like to augment the return or provide a teeny tiny little layer of protection. And it's really not a huge layer of protection selling calls against your positions. And I don't advise you to sell calls on your heavily losing loss positions, because quite frankly, in a worst case scenario, you're going to get called away at a loss, and nobody wants that. It kind of defeats the purpose a little bit. Anyways, one of the things I wanted to in talking about risk tolerance, time horizons, if things have happened in your life recently or in the last couple of years, these are things that always you should be looking at to reevaluate your risk. Maybe something's changed. And it could be for the better, and you say, hey, you know what, I can take a little bit more risk, or, maybe I should be kind of pulling it back a little bit. I'm getting a little closer to that, objective time date. I don't really want to mess this up. But it also should be a lesson in that, the market doesn't know when you want to retire. The market doesn't care when you want to retire. or when you want to send your kid to school. It's going to do what it's going to do. So we have to constantly be planning for that. As an advisor, you know, sometimes the hardest thing to tell a client is, hey, maybe we should take some profits here. And, you know, and quite frankly, you know, it at the top of markets is very similar to at the bottom of markets. And, you know, I've talked with clients who I said, hey, you know, I think we should maybe sell a little this year. We've done really well on it. You know, take a little cash and it gives us more powder for a rainy day or to rebalance. And they say, you know what? It's doing great. It's going to go to the moon. In fact, honestly, I was in an Uber just a month ago, and the guy picks me up in a Tesla, and he says, I got all my money in Tesla. And I said, that's an absolutely horrible idea. And I don't know how much you own of it, but he's telling me how well he's done. I said, you know what? Peel back some of that. Take some of your profits. You can always buy back in, because mark my words, every single investment out there that you want to be invested in will go down someday. It may not go down to where you think of a Google or Amazon, where you can afford to buy more than a share or two, maybe. But honestly, everything goes on sale at some point or another. You just really have to have patience and constantly having that mindset of, wow, we're at all-time highs. Maybe take a little bit. Let me take a little bit here. Things are starting to look horrible, looking horrible. Some of that free cash that I have here, let's deploy that now. And so we're constantly doing that. And, you know, what I would honestly say is call us. We want to hear from you. We like to hear from you and discuss your situation so we can help you make the right decision for, you know, where we should be. You know, I wanted to jump in here and do I don't know if Janie could do this, run a poll for us, about how concerned are you, about being on track for meeting your financial goals? Kind of curious as to how that, you know, cause it's certainly something, see if Janie can pull that up here.
Yes, I just shared it, Jim. Hopefully they can see it.
Okay. So they're coming in, not concerned, a little worried, or not worried. Although one should be probably very worried. but a little worried seems to be winning out here in the room, and that is completely understood. You know, it's one of those things that is the quote unquote, the dark side of risk. You know, risk and return, there is no risk-free rates. I mean, honestly, if you want to look at a risk-free rate, you're going to be looking at, you know, a T-bill. And I think we just saw a T-bill, 3-month T-bill paying 90 basis points for a year. So in this inflationary environment, that's why bonds have been getting hit so hard. The Federal Reserve, contrary to popular belief, doesn't control the interest rate that you pay for your vehicle or on your credit card or on your house. Those rates will go in reaction to the Federal Reserve's actions. However, you know, the Federal Reserve raising interest rates in this environment, one, is a bad idea, which they should have been doing in the FOMO market. That's the fear of missing out, where everything's going to the moon. Just buy everything and you're going to make money. And, you know, as little as a month and a half ago, I still heard guys saying that. You know, I don't think it's a time to lose your mind. It's a time to, like, as I said, regroup, look at what you're doing, maybe take advantage of some tax harvesting things that you might be able to do in your portfolio. But a lot of the prep and the planning, you know, looks at time horizons. So, you know, as much as any one of us would like to say where the market's going to be in 30 days, 90 days, a year, 2 years, we don't have a crystal ball. And what we have to do is take what we do know, the knowledge of what we do know, and try to build portfolios that can better withstand some of this. Now, again, I'll go back to my statement that, you know, in a heavy down market, everything becomes correlated. Everything goes down. I can tell you briefly why that happens. And one of the reasons is the leverage that is in the marketplace. People are using money that they don't necessarily have to buy stocks. And this happens regularly. If you open up any brokerage account, you already have margin, and you are able to buy more stock, 25% more stock than you would otherwise afford with the dollar amount that's in your account. And so as the market's going down, people get margin calls. And so on those margin calls, that means they have to deposit more money or sell something to cover that cash discrepancy between the Reg T requirements from the federal from the SEC, and so what are they going to sell? Well, they're going to sell things that maybe are making money, you know. And so even good things get sold. Even the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater sometimes in a market liquidation. I do think we're at some very interesting technical points in the market themselves, and I think that we can, provided we can stay a little neutral here in the short term. You know, we'll see if we can stop the bleeding for now, so to speak. But I also feel that even though our Federal Reserve is talking about raising interest rates more in the environment, which even though they're fighting inflation and the inflation numbers, whilst they came in hot today, they were a little less than they were prior. So the growth of inflation may be tapering off. Obviously, one month doesn't make a full report. It's anecdotal at best. But if that's the case, if they're fighting it already, you may end up seeing things like bonds catch a bid because maybe they don't cut rates as much as or raise rates as much as previously anticipated. And that's one of the things that the Federal Reserve has been doing, or the Federal Reserve has been doing, has been over the last decade, have been reacting to what happens in the market. They have two mandates: that's jobs, and that is inflation. Inflation they're losing the battle on. Jobs they were doing fine on, but to fight inflation, they actually have to kind of fight their other mandate. Everybody else knows that they have a third mandate, and they're looking right at the S&P 500, just like you are on your statements. And it wouldn't be surprising to me to see them try to walk some of it back if we stay in the quagmire we are. But as Ron mentioned, there are headwinds out there. The inflation, Ukraine, quantitative tightening by the Federal Reserve, all those things are a bit of headwinds right now. But also remember this. And, you know, I think that, you know, you'll see a lot of pundits out there saying, oh, you know, I don't think there'll be a recession till, you know, Q2 of 23 or 24 or something like that, which I find actually kind of humorous because predicting recessions isn't really easy. But I will tell you this, when they do report your recession, they're gonna say, we were just in a recession. And I have a high probability thought that sometime in July or August, they're gonna go, hey, we were in a recession in the second quarter of 2022, and I think we are. And that's what I think you're seeing right now. And I don't expect full washouts. You know, I gave you that number of the S&P 500 being up 52% from the lows of the of COVID. But honestly, if I take us back to the first January of 21, so just 14 months ago, we're the same spot where we were then. So, you know, while last year was a banner year, it's all been taken away. That's how markets work. Business cycles are up and down. And there's, you know, we didn't bring the graphic today, but there's a graphic that shows usually the emotional roller coaster that people go through and the mindsets of while they're investing of where markets are in their cycles. And it's, you know, if there's one thing I do know, and for the years I've been around this business, is human psychology is a much better gauge of what really is going to happen in the market and what people will do. As Ron was stating, you know, for sure, no clients that were, you know, I'm done with the market in late 08, and I'm never coming back, you know, and they were a couple of months away from one of the biggest bull markets we've ever seen, and longest. And so, and then stay out forever because they got hurt and they get scared, and it's very understandable. But this is also why we make it such a insistence upon you to say, look, I want you to look at these numbers and understand. If you say to your advisor, hey, you know, maybe we should be getting a little bit more aggressive because everybody's making money over hand over fist in Tesla or XYZ, you know, whatever it may be, guess what? That turns, and don't be so resistant to taking profits, taking a cooler head, letting cooler heads prevail. Because as I stated before, markets don't care where you are in your time horizon whatsoever. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. And none of us are going to be able to predict those exact times. Because if we did, we'd be a lot richer than we are right now. That's for sure. So one of the other things that I wanted to take a poll with, because it's regarding the risk tolerance, because I keep going back to this because it really is important, because it's part of what's going to help you sleep better at night. And I don't mean by just going the conservative route, because honestly, I've had people just as upset on the upside where they're going, whoa, the market went up 30%. How come we only went up 20% or 15%? Well, that's because we didn't take on full on market risk. Because if you take full on market risk, you know, the losses become greater and a lot of times faster. The second poll says, based on the current volatility, do you believe your current investments are aligned with your risk tolerance?
Yeah, I just shared that with them. Hopefully they can respond.
Perfect. And if you answer no to this, then it definitely is a time where you should call your advisor and say, hey, maybe we need to take a relook at this thing. And understand that you probably, your advisor is not going to say, okay, let's change it all today. It's going to be a gradual process, because what you don't want to do is add insult to injury, so to speak. You want to get your head around where we are, because one thing that does happen in bear trends, and we are in a bear trend for sure, but in a bear trend, you will see, as witnessed by one of Ron's earlier graphics, you will see huge upside bull rallies. I mean, we had a 3-4% rally last week. And so, and in some of those times, those might be times where you maybe sell a couple of assets if you're a little shaky on things and kind of reallocate a little bit. But it, we don't want to do anything all at once. Keep your, I don't say just hold it, period. Think about it. Think about what it is that you can do with your advisor and choices that you make now and how they might be able to affect your future outcomes to make them more favorable. And maybe next time that we do get in something like this, you get a, it's a little less scary. But, you know, we don't want to see you lose a dime. We're losing dimes ourselves. You know, it's the same thing. And but it is part of the process. And being in this business for as long as I have, I do know that markets do go down and they do go up, back up. And we don't know when that's all going to happen. We get to speculate. But it's a matter of patience and understanding understanding your goals, your time horizons, because these greatly affect how much risk you can and should take. One last little anecdotal story. Clients of mine, at one point we had returned, they're retired. They've been retired for years, and we returned like 8% or something in a year. And the gentleman says to me, he goes, you know, what do you think if we amped up the risk a little bit here and, you know, went for bigger returns? And I said, looked over and I said, wow. And I said, you know, that's an interesting thing. Like if it's, say, go get like, you know, 20% return or, you know, something like that. And I said, well, how would you feel about a 40% loss? And he says, that would be devastating. And I go, in a 20% gain, what would that change in your life? He said, not one thing would change in my life if I made 20%, but if I lost 40% of what I had, it would change everything. So that's the context of what you need to think about during your conversations with your advisors. It's really going to serve you well in the long run. And having these conversations, it'll be very helpful. I'm laughing at one of the comments here is I don't see very worried on the first poll. And I agree with you, Julia, that is I agree with you. That should have been one of the choices there. But we're working on it. And, you know, we're in the thick of it right now. And so I think there'll be opportunities for some relief. As I said before, as far as massive bull rallies, I wouldn't be surprised to see one in the near future. Volatility was down today with the market being down. That's very uncommon. Those usually travel in opposite directions. You know, if that holds true, the market's expecting a little bit of a bounce here. I saw that Disney came with some decent numbers this afternoon. And so, you know, we might see a little bit of a bounce over the next few days here. But, you know, it kind of is noise. It's, as we call it, it's a little bit of a headline market. Fed does this, you know, Russia does this, and, you know, COVID does that. And I think we're fighting on a lot of fronts, sticking with a plan and adjusting that plan if things change. It's, you know, your financial plan is very dynamic, and things can change like that, and you have to be ready for it. Did we have any questions that anybody has in regards to what we've talked about or any other things that we might want to talk about at all today? Because I see we're getting close to our, we got about 15 minutes left of this. And
so, unfortunately, I cannot see any of the questions from the participants. Maybe
I can, and
Okay.
So, you know, okay. There's, you know, strategies that can help mitigate my risk. You know, one of the things I alluded to was utilization of options. And, you know, it, whilst it can be too complex to talk about in general to a crowd, because it takes a little bit of a little bit of understanding. Like I said, I'll write a little bit about that. But I think that, you know, always understand that, you know, one of the things that us as advisors are doing also is we also take a look at, especially those of our participants who are either in retirement or very nearing retirement, we start to look at income needs and try to make sure we free up income so the rest of your portfolio can essentially withstand a little bit of a downturn, and the money you need will be there, and you know, we understand that the markets will be, you know, cyclical and they'll come back. I got another one here. Here's one for you, Ron. Is the market too volatile right now to consolidate accounts?
Well, consolidating accounts is not going to do much to fight volatility or address volatility, because all you're doing is just pulling some assets together. So it's more important to take a look at your asset allocation and what sectors you're in, what equities and fixed income securities that you might be have in your account. Consolidating an account is never, in my opinion, a bad thing to do.
I agree.
It's more about what to do within what's in those accounts. Whether they're in different accounts or the same accounts shouldn't make any difference. You really need to get a good understanding of what your situation is, what your future goals are, what timelines are relevant to those future goals, and then address it that way. So I think that's much more important than consolidating the accounts. So of course, there are certain accounts you can't consolidate, which, you know, you can't do a qualified account, which would be an IRA or a 401k or like an employer-sponsored retirement plan, with a what we call a non-qualified account, which is an individual or joint account or a trust account. And you can't really consolidate those anyway. But if you've got, you know, multiple IRAs out there, it's not a bad idea to consolidate them, because it might give you more power in your diversification. Rather, it's a lot easier to diversify one pool of money than it is to diversify three or four different pools of money. So that's my take on it. And so.
Yeah, and you know what I would add to that, Ron, is, you know, I agree with you 100%. The other part of that is, you know, every once in a while you'll get clients who'll be like, I've got my money with you, and I've got my 401k. And I'll always say, hey, you know, you should bring that 401k for me to look at, visualize, to put into our software programs so we can help allocate you appropriately. Again, back to that risk tolerance, to what is an appropriate risk tolerance level, because quite frankly, if we're not seeing your retirement plan, when we're not charging you any money, we're not going to charge you any money to have the whole picture of your portfolio. In fact, we would much rather, and we can do a much better job with you if we can see all the assets. They don't have to be controlled by us, but certainly showing us that so we can fight over investing in certain areas and I've even had, and I'm sure Ron, you've had this too, where, you know, say somebody go, my 401k is doing better than you are doing. And I look at it and I say, well, that's because you're in all 100% growth in your 401k. And I've already seen that, and that's why I'm adding, I've got fixed income, I've got all the other asset classes over here. Of course it's not going to, except in maybe a sideways market or a small bear trend that'll happen. I mean, again, the correlations will work themselves out over the long run. And it's why, you know, I can't tell you, and it's really hard these days to be able to sit here and say, hey, you should have some fixed income exposure. But quite honestly, I still think you should. I mean, you know, with the market being down, you know, NASDAQ was down almost 3% today. The S&P 500 down 1.5%. The long bonds were up almost 1.75% today. So that is one of the levers that normally works. Again, we've been in a little bit of a different scenario here, and you know, I don't know how you folks are. You know, I saw that a lot of you are concerned or somewhat concerned. You know, I do want to bring back that thought process of March 1st of 2020, 2 years ago. You know, the market still after this today is up 52%. So that is, you know, I don't want to say proof positive, but it is indicative of how market cycles do work. And when things do go down, they go down fast. Everything is overdone. Human psychology, when they're selling, everybody wants to sell everything. When they're buying, everybody wants to buy everything. I do think some of this will be actually healthy for the overall portfolios. You know, a lot of these smaller, you know, money losing companies that are now getting taken to the woodshed, rightfully so, because they had valuations that were far surpassed what they should have been. I don't care what anybody says. You know, the fact of the matter is, if you have some money that you want to invest in some smaller companies that may make, you know, may be a future star, I think that's great, but that should be a small percentage of your portfolio, and not a major portion of it. Because whilst you will read about people who got rich quick, you don't usually hear about the guy who lost all his money in a day or two or three either. And that's the sad truth. And nobody's going to tell you about that one because it's not a fun story to tell. So keep your risk diverse. You know, talk with your advisor and work with us because that's what we're here for. This is what we do every day. And if you got a call and need a sounding board, we're here for that too.
Yeah. I might add to that the concept of time. You probably all heard this before. It's timing the market is about impossible, like Jim alluded to, because you never know what's going to happen the next day, what the market's going to do. Nobody has that crystal ball, like you said. So it's more important the time in the market. And if you're concerned about your portfolios now, this is the best time to start talking to your advisor, getting a little bit more input. And we cannot really make assessments unless we really hear from you and what your concerns are. Doing something radical like moving all out to cash, I have never seen in all my years working with clients, I've never seen anybody hurt by just staying put when the markets are down with their current allocation. Invariably, it comes back and they surpass that by far. But I've had lots of people come to me hurt because they moved into cash and stayed there before. And stayed there long after the market started really recovering well. And you saw from that little bull bear chart I put up a while back that they're, you know, the bear markets are relatively short-lived, like I said, an average of 11.7 months. So, and if you're taking income.
Ron, and since you pointed that out, I'm going to say this. In November, about November 2nd of 2021, was the peak of this market. And so if time serves us correctly, we're 7 months into an 11-month average, and so so we're more than halfway through it, which also bodes into my thought process that sometime in July or August they're going to tell us we were in a recession back in March, April, May.
Yeah, a recession, like Jim said, recessions are defined after the fact because you have to have 2 quarters of a 20% loss. So, and you don't negative. Know that 2 quarters ago. Yeah, negative, 20%. Yeah. So you don't know you've been in a recession until you afterwards. So, I'm hoping things are going to come back towards the end of this year if that statistical average holds somewhat accurate. You know, it depends on the standard deviation, of course, could be longer. So, but like I said, that I see many more people hurt by cost opportunity of not being in the markets when things have tanked for them. So, and if you're that worried and concerned about things tanking, then it's time to reassess your risk tolerance and have some conversations. Several of my retirees that are taking income streams, you know, at times like this, we're setting aside, you know, a year or 2 years of income to get us through the bear market. So, and things will recover and then we prepare for the next one. So that's the way it works. So unfortunately, that's not much comfort to anybody that's been through it as an investor, but that's the way it is. So before we close, I want to just summarize what we talked about. I want to remind you that the recording of this forum will be available on our website if you want to review it or if you have friends that you might think have find some value in it. And our website is www.wfinadv.com. That's WFINADV.com. And you can see a replay there. To invite you to discuss any of your concerns with your advisor and review the risk tolerance if that's a concern for you as well. And if you don't have an advisor, if you're one of the attendees that are not our clients and you want to talk to them, just give us a call. We can easily help you with that. I also want to say this is, like I said, this was our first foray into this area presentation, and we hope to continue these. And what we really want to do is continue them based on the concerns of the people that we work with. And so if you have comments or concerns that you would like to have addressed, please let us know what those are. We'd be happy to address them. We're going to have another forum in June, on June 8th. And this one is going to be on the topic of annuities and when they might make sense and when they don't. And annuities are, if you probably noticed, the TV during this past 4 months has been heavily bombarded with annuity commercials because this is where the insurance company takes on the risk on your behalf. And a lot of people get a lot of comfort in that instead of just assuming all the risks themselves. But unfortunately, a lot of the annuities are very, very expensive and they have fees that can eat away at any returns that you might be able to gain outside of an annuity if you have the patience to do the ups and downs of the market. So these are some things that we'll probably address in this next forum. So again, June 8th is that, and we'll be sending out an email announcement on that. I don't have anything else to add, Jim. Do you have any?
No, I think that's great. If you would be so kind as to let us know what you thought of it, if we stunk, or if, as Ron said, if you have a topic that you would like to see in one of these forums, we'll see if we can't meet your needs and try to address them. We're going to try to keep this, it's going to be live and unscripted, so we'll see, where we can go from here with you guys. We're on this ride together. Mm-hmm. And, we want to do everything we can to honestly try to help you sleep a little better at night, especially during these times. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you all for joining us. And enjoy the rest of your evening and the upcoming weekend, for sure. All right. Okay. Bye-bye.